We're heading up to the top of page 84 in Brachos, the exact top of the page, Toner Rabbanan. It's the middle of Ori Samach Beis for those who are using other editions. We talked yesterday about Rabbi Gamliel and his slave Tovi, where we know all over Shas that Tovi was a Talmid Chacham. And so then when he passed away, the Mishnah had said that that Rabbi Gamliel accepted Tanchumin, had people were coming to be Menachem over him. And when Rabbi Gamliel's asked him, you don't do that for Avodim, as we learned yesterday, he said Tovi was different because kosher are you. So in this connection, the Gemara brings another Braisa, which by way of it, for the second part of the Braisa, which is not quoted here in Ein Yaakov, says is a din about Avodim. In those times, they used to use the titles Abba and Imma to mean not just like you do nowadays, Tati or Mommy, but rather they would use them also as a title of respect for people, kind of like Mr. or Mrs. or Reb and Rebitzin. So the Braisa mentions that you don't use such titles for Avodim. You don't call them Abba so-and-so, Ima so-and-so, you just call them by their first name, with the exception, it says, the Avodim of Rabbi Gamliel's household, because they were very prominent. So as a preface to that, the Braisa mentions something else, which we have here in Ein Yaakov. Toner Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Ein Koren Oves Elo L'Gimel. There's only three fathers of the Jewish people whom we call Oves. So only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We don't call the Shvatim Oves. The Ein Koren Imaris Elo L'Dalam. And similarly, when you talk about the Imaris, we mean only the four, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, meaning not Bilhah and Zilpah. So sometimes we have there are places in Chassidus, Al-Pi the Zoyah, where we consider Bilhah, and sometimes we talk about, for example, it says that Barzel is Rosh Hashanah, Bilhah, Rachel, Zilpah, Leah, but we don't actually call them Imaris, per se. So the Gemara asks, Ovis, my time. Why indeed do we call only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov Ovis, not the Shvatim? You're going to say, because practically speaking, nobody knows whether they're from Shevet, Reuven or Shevet Shimon. So how can you say, for example, Reuven Avinu, when you might not be descended from Reuven? Well, in that case, Yehochi Mohis Nami. So the same thing should apply to the Imois. Lo Yadinin, Ime Rochel Kasinin, Ime Leah Kasinin. After all, the same thing should apply to Rochel and Leah. Rather the answer is ad hocha chashivi up to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They're considered important. Tfei lei chashivi. After that, they're not considered so important. Important in what sense? So Eitz Yosef brings over here that the idea is that we know until Yaakov, things still had to be cleaned up. Avraham still had psoilus in him, and from that came out Yishmael. Yitzchak had, and from that came out Esav. Yaakov is the first one that we toss as Shlema. So once you reach Yaakov already, then you don't really have, his children don't really have any great advantage over the other tzaddik. More generally, there's the idea, brought in many, many places in Chassidus, that you have only certain people who are ovos, and there's ovos, or royim, in the sense that they draw down a certain hamshacha to the entire Jewish people, chesed, Abraham chesed, Yitzchak Gvura, and so on and so forth. And therefore, the Shvatim are not really in that category. The Shvatim have a special thing of their own. They're associated in Kabbalah with something called Yudbe's Bulei Alachsen, which I haven't the slightest clue what that means. But in any case, they're not all-encompassing like the way the Ovis are. To a certain extent, we say Yosef is. Sometimes we talk about that Yosef is almost like an honorary one of the Ovis. He supported the whole Jewish people, Gashmius, and also Baruchnius, but we don't really call them Ovis. With that said, though, the Ritva brings in a different Gemara that when we're talking about over here, not calling them Ovis means primarily a Dam. So if we have reason to mention the Shvatim and Davening, we never call them Avesein, only Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But in other contexts, we can call even people from much later times, we can call them Avos, and there's no problem with that. You have Gemaras, for example, that refer to Aviseinu that left Mitzrayim. Yeah, we say in Agadah, for example, we have the line Loyas Aviseinu Bevad Gol Hakadosh Baruch Hu, etc. So because that's not in Davening per se, so therefore that's fine. Gemara goes on, Amar of Elazar, my dichtiv, getting back to the matter of saying Krishman davening, to my dichtiv, what does it mean, a pasuk in Tilim, Kein avarecha kabachayay, David HaMelech says, the same way as I was, as it describes in the previous psukim of how I'm coming close to Hashem, I will bless you while I'm alive. With your name, I will lift up my hands. Now, in Poshut Pshat, fine. It means, in other words, that he's saying that as whatever happens to me, I'll bless Hashem and I'll lift up my hands and tefillah to Hashem. But Rabbi Lozer Darshan, Kena Barachacha Zu Krishma, the words Kena Barachacha B'chayai refer to saying Krishma. And why is that? Why is that referred to as B'chayai? So Marsha explains, because the main point of Krishma is, like this, besides that there's a mitzvah to say Krishma twice a day, besides that also a person is Yotze, the minimum requirement of Talmud Torah, by saying Krishma. There's Gemara in Menachos that mentions that point, even though it says, V'ogisa v'yoyim v'layla, if a person is not capable of, and most people aren't because they have to work, the absolute minimum that a person does is he says Krishma in the morning and in the evening, and with that he's Yotze the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And Torah is our life. Pihu chayecha. So therefore, so kein avarecha. So I bless Hashem regarding chayei in something connected to Torah. And then it continues. B'shimcha esachapai. When it says in your name, I lift up my hands. Zut tefila. That refers to davening Shemini Esrei. Where b'shimcha, Marsha explains, because when all the various requests we make in Shemini Esrei, we're not asking for ourselves. We're not saying we deserve it. We're saying for Hashem's sake, for your sake, Hashem, that it should make a kiddush Hashem and not the opposite. Then give us what we need. So that's the shimcha that we're saying in your name. I lift up my hands rather than that we're trying to say that we deserve it. And the osa kein and the pasuk continues. If a person does like that, he does krishma and shemini esrei with that kind of mentality. All of our kosevayim, where the pasuk says about such a person, the next pasuk in that kapitel tilim continues, k'moy cheva v'deshen tispa nafshi. He continues, life with fat and with deshen, which is the ashes of the korbanos, my soul will be satisfied. Which means, in other words, that now he has the schus of as if he brought korbanos on the mizbeach. So the chaylev of the animals of the korbanos that are brought on the mizbeach and the deshen that is left over and that you have the mitzvah every morning of terumas hadeshen of clearing some of it off the mizbeach. So a person who says krishma and davening has that schos as if he did that avodah, because after all tefillah is instead of the korbanos. Not only that, but he inherits both worlds. In the schos of Krishma, in particular, Marsha says, because, again, we said Torah is chayecha va'orach yamecha, and the double expression means an olam hazeh and an olam haba, so therefore he's zoicha to that. Shenemba v'sif seder nonos yahal opi, as that same pasuk until him continues, and lips of praises, my lips of singing, of renonos, singing of songs in the plural, yahal opi, my mouth will praise. So Bez Renonis Halololama, why the double expression Renonis means Echad Ba'olam Hazeh, Ve'echad Ba'olam Haba. So the person will have the schus to praise Hashem with these things in this world and also in the next world. That's also elsewhere, the Gemara mentions on Asher Yesh Ve'Secha, Od Ya'alu Chasela, that a person who Yosh Ve'Secha in this world, they have the schus that they're Mahalol Ve'Evish, they lost in Lava as well. Within Rashi over here, there's a parenthetical note that brings from the Rashba that Avarecha B'chayai, specifically another reason why that refers to Krishma, is because in Krishma we say Baruch Shein Koen Machos Olam Vayim, and therefore that can be described as Avarecha B'chayai. Then he says B'shimcha Esakapai refers to davening in the sense also that when Shlomo HaMelech did the Chanukas Habayis and he gave the whole long tefillah asking that Hashem should accept everybody's tefillahs, he says everybody will daven no matter where in the world they are, they'll daven to Hashem through this house, because we daven in the direction of Yerushalayim, the direction of this mikdash, which Hashem's name is called on the this mikdash, Shnikra Shimcha Olav, and therefore B'shimcha Esakapai means by means of the place where Hashem's name rests, we're going to lift up our hands and dab into Hashem. So that's what the pasuk is hinting at. Continues the Gemara. So now actually we go back a couple of blocks. I'm not real. Sometimes the Mechaber of Ein Yaakov put the pieces of Gemara out of order. I'm not real sure why. I mean, I guess sometimes he tried to keep things that are on a similar theme together, but here as it is, we've been digressing quite a bit. So why he first puts this piece of in over here when it's two blocks earlier than what we had, I don't know. Anyway, Amar Rav, Kol Anosin Shalom Lachaveret, Kodim Shispalo. If a person greets somebody else with shalom before he davens, specifically before he davens Shemini Esrei, kilo asoi bum. It's as if he's making that person a bummer, which is. Now, we know there were short periods in Jewish history when you were allowed to build bummers, private mizbeches, and bring korbanos on them. But for the most part, not. It's serious avera. It's shote chutz. A person has chayev kares for it. So in times when a bummer is also, what is a person doing? He's abandoning the main mizbeach in the Beis Hamikdash where he's supposed to bring korbanos, and he's going and bringing korbanos on some private bummer. So the same way, when a person ignores Hashem and he goes and greets the other guy with shalom, then it's as if he's making that guy a bum. Shenemar, and we have a pasuk that expresses that point. The pasuk says, "Chidlu lachem mina adam asher neshama ba'atoy." Hold yourselves back from man whose neshama is in his nose. Ki bameh nechshavu, because what does he count for? So I'll take you bameh el a bum. Don't read bameh with what, but bama, you bama nechshavu by greeting him at that time. Then it's like you're making him a bum. So Rashi explains, you can see clearly that the pasuk must be talking about a time when you're expected to be dealing with the covenant of Hashem, because otherwise, what do you mean? Chidlu lachem mina adam. What do you mean? Stay away from people. The Torah, the pasuk's not telling you to be a hermit. So it has to mean at a specific time that when you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be focused on Hashem, then don't be focused on a person. And the Maimel HaChadoidi that we say at a wedding, the Friedrich Rebbe explains there the idea that the neshama ba'apoi, the idea being that before a person has daven, his neshama is, so to speak, only in his nose. It hasn't yet been slabish into his body fully. You know, the neshama goes away, goes lamaila by night, it comes back in the morning, which is what we say moda'ani for, but then when does it become fully malubish in the person? Only after he davens. So before he davens, it's still only ba'apoi. That's what the pasuk means by calling it neshama ba'apoi. Shmuel says you don't have to change the word bameh to bama. It means bamecha shabdil azev loy loy lekan. It just means that the Navi is telling the Jewish people, what is it that you're making this person important instead of Hashem? So you don't even need to do a kri, you don't even need to do an al tikri bama bameh alabama. Just the word bameh itself implies that it's the wrong thing to do. So the Gemara continues, Mosiv Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes says, what do you mean? You're not allowed to greet somebody before you daven. The Mishnah, which is what this Gemara is on, says, Baprokim Shoyo Mepnei HaKavod HaMeshiv. It describes how between the sections of Shema, for example, between the first bracha and the second, between the second bracha and Shema Yisrael, etc. So you're allowed to greet somebody because of kavod, and you're allowed to answer back when somebody who you owe kavod to greets you. What kavod means for this purpose, there are different explanations among the poskim. It can mean, for example, a rebbe who you have to have kavod for, or it can mean kavod, just for example, an important person. Whatever, the point is that we see that it is appropriate at times like that to be saying shalom to somebody. Even though, now this is during Shema, the Pashtus is before Shemana Esrei, and we're still saying you can do it. And the answer is Tirgum Rab Abba b'mashkim l'pishoi. So Rab Abba explained that it meant when he gets up early to go to the guy's door in order to say shalom to him. So that's inappropriate to do before davening. But if Sam meets him on the street, then there's nothing wrong with it. That's the kind of thing that the Mishnah is describing where you'd even be allowed to do between the Perakim of Shema. By the way, that particular halacha of Shoyal and Meshiv now covered doesn't necessarily apply nowadays, because nobody's going to be offended if they see, if you're in the middle of Shema and they greet you and you don't answer back, nobody's going to be offended. They're going to realize you're in the middle of Shema. So to the extent that we apply that halacha, we do apply it to the fact that we know there are different places in davening where you're allowed to interrupt for Dvarim Shebekdusha. So the idea behind it is, if you're allowed to interrupt in those places for the covet of a boss of a dumb, how much more so for the covet of the Eibshna? So that's the basis of how it is, for example, that between the Perakim of Shema, you can answer various things, such as parts of Kedusha, and Amun Yehe Shmei Rabba, and Baruch Hu, and a few other things, is based on that. It's based on that idea. In Shulchan Aruch, it also mentions, by the way, that mainly the objection is to saying shalom. Shalom, after all, is the name of the Ibshter. But to say hello or to say something else, whatever the equivalents are, in other languages is less of an issue. Like good morning or whatever. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yona, Amar Rav Zera, Kolan knows what we just said, Kolan knows and Shalom Lachaveiroi, Kodim Shispalo. If a person says Shalom to somebody before he davens, Asoi Bama, then he's making him a Bama, in effect. Amalei, so he says, the Pashtus, I guess Rav Yona asks Rav Zera, Bama Kamer. Do you mean literally he's making him a Bama? Amalei Loi Osu Kamina. No, I don't mean he's literally making him like a Bama. I mean it's something which is also to do. Rashi does not seem to have the gusa of that whole line at all. On the other hand, the Rif and a number of other Rishonim do have the Gibsa. So the point is, in other words, the objection is, how can you say he's making him literally a bummer? In fact, Ion Yaakov says, so what does that mean? And during the few times in Jewish history when bummers were allowed, would that mean that it's fine to greet somebody with shalom before you daven? What's the logic? So he says, no, I mean that it's flat out also regardless what period in history we're talking about. Anyway, Kidur Rav Idi Bar Oven. And the reason is based on what Rav Idi Bar Oven says, the Amr of Idi Bar Oven, Amr of Yitzchak Ba'ashian, also Loila Odom, Litin Shalom Lachaveri, the Lotus Laderech, a person is not allowed to greet somebody else with Shalom, or to go away on a trip, or different gives says, Lassus Chafatzav, to do his own personal matters, Kodim Shi's foul before he dabbles. So Rashi has the Girsa just lasses chafatzav, that the problem is not so much going on a trip or saying shalom to somebody else. The problem is lasses chafatzav, that he's going to get busy with his own work before he goes and dabbles. The Rif and the Rosh have the Girsa, that person is not allowed lasses laderech. He's not allowed to go on a trip. So there are certain exceptions to it in Shulchan Aruch. A person has, for example, a plane to catch or whatever, and they have to go early in the morning, then there's a little more of a heter for it. But yeah. Shenema, the pasuk says, Tzedek lefon of Yahalich. The pasuk says, Tzedek should walk before him. So Tzedek refers to tefillah, where a person, and then Rashi says, Shema Tzdiko leboreh. It makes the person righteous and justified before Hashem. Or it can mean the other way around. It can mean the person, when he's davening, he realizes how what Hashem does is just and fair. So that's Tzedek. And then the Yosim Lederach Pa'amav, only then should he set out his footsteps out according to Rashi to do his various other business affairs, and according to the Rif and the Rosh to actually go on a trip. The Omer of Idi Ba'ov and Omer of Yitzchak Ba'ashian, the flip side, Kolam is follow the Yotz of Aderach, if a person does things in the right order, first he davens, then he goes on a trip, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oysalei Chafatzav, then Hashem will do for him what his desires are. Shenema, the same post, Tzedek Yifon of Mahalech, V'yosem L'derach Pa'amav, now we're understanding that V'yosem refers to Hashem, Marashar explains, that in the first version we're saying V'yosem refers to the person. Only after Tzedek Yifonot Lohanam Yahalech, only then V'yosem should the person himself place his footsteps to start going on his trip or doing his business matters or whatever. According to the second explanation, the V'yosem refers to Hashem. After Tzedek Yifonot Yahalech, the result will be V'yosem, that Hashem will place L'derech Pa'amav, that his footsteps will be going on the right path and they'll be successful. Okay. Since we mentioned something that Rabbi Yona says in the name of Rabbi Zera, so the Gemara brings another one. Omer Rabbi Yona, Omer Rabbi Zera, Kol halon shiva leilos, or shivas yomim b'loi chaloim. If a person sleeps, if a person goes 7 straight nights or 7 straight days without a dream, nikra ra. He's called bad. Shenemar, we'll talk a second why that is, what's wrong with not having dreams for a week, we'll talk about it in a second. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, v'saveya yolin bal yipoked ra. The Pasuk in Mishle says, the one who sleeps satisfied, saveya, means like v'achal to the savata, bal yipoked ra, he won't be visited with evil. But we're doubting it, so the simple meaning of the Pasuk, in other words, is that we're saying, in other words, that a person sleeps satisfied and he won't have to worry about any evil thing happening to him. But the Gemara is dashing rather, I'll take with Saveya El Sheva. Read the, not instead of Saveya, satisfied, read Sheva, which means 7. So therefore, now we read the Pasuk. The Sheva Yolin, if he sleeps for 7 days, bow your pocket, and he hasn't been visited, he hasn't been mentioned by Hashem to be given a dream in Hashemayim, Ra, then it means he's bad. And therefore, Rashi says, in other words, the point is, like Hashem is kind of ignoring him. He's Ra, and therefore Hashem doesn't want to bother giving him a message min Hashemayim. Now, what we actually have is, you have a parenthesis over here, in the name of it here, Perek Haroya Ayin Sham Marasha. So, in fact, this Maimon Chazal is also later on in the Masechta. There's a whole sugya about dreams over there. It mentions it also. Unfortunately, over here, Marasha says, refer to over there for my Pirush. And over there, he says, refer to over here for my Pirush. So, apparently, he intended to write a Pirush on what this phrase means, but he never had the chance to. There are different explanations. What's so bad about going seven days without a dream? A couple of interesting ones are b'chlal. A dream is a message. So one angle on it is exactly that. If a person is going for 7 days without being given some kind of message, then it shows there's something wrong. So there is there's an interesting little sefer on the Agadis in Brachas and Shabbos that I came across. And you can find that on Hebrew books. It's one of those svarim you would never know that existed if it weren't for that. It's a little sefer called Pesher Agadah. The author of it was named Rabbi Yehuda Leib Ratner. He was a rav in one of the agricultural colonies in what's now the Ukraine. The many Lubavitcher Chassidim lived there. Those are the famous colonies, for example, that Rabbi Paracher used to travel around every summer. Anyway, this I don't know anything about this author, although he does have a skama on his sefer from the Rebbe's grandfather, Rabbi Meir Shlem. So whether he himself was a chassid or just he was a rav in one of those little shtetlach vesachnish. Anyway, he wrote this pirush on brachas and Shabbos, the Agadas of brachas and Shabbos. So he says the vort is usually when a person is eating, usually along with the eating, they're also thinking thoughts. And then what happens when a person is there, when a person goes to sleep and their mind is all jumbled up, and then those thoughts resolve themselves into dreams and get swept out. So like this, if a person is going an entire week without a dream, it means that throughout that entire week, which a week necessarily includes a Shabbos, he's never been putting any thought into when he's eating. Stam just shoveling food into his mouth. Therefore, we're saying nikrada. There is actually a mimer of the Rebbe, which also shtells zich on this. And in the middle of the mimer, the Rebbe talks about the whole concept of dreams. And the Rebbe's take on it is somewhat different. Also having to do with machshavas, but with the idea that the Rebbe explains in this mimer that even a tzaddik, as he's going about his day, yes, mostly his machshavas are about the Eidishter, but inevitably at some point during the day, he's got to have machshavas about the needs of his body as well. So now, if he goes an entire week without, and again, those machshavas at night, then those end up getting resolved into dreams and then swept out of his mind. So if he goes an entire week without having any dreams, then it means that those machshavas are remaining by him rather than getting swept out, and that's a problem. So that's the idea. That's the Jerusha. One reason before Shem explained why the Gemara felt the need to darshan the Al Tikri Al Saveya Al Sheva is in particular Pesher Agadah points out because Fakir, what do you mean the Saveya Yovan Bal Yipoked Ra, because a person goes to sleep satisfied, therefore no evil will happen to him. Fakir, when a person goes to bed on a full stomach, he's more likely, for example, to have Tumas Keri or something during the night, therefore the Gemara felt the need to darshan it differently. We want to continue. Amalei Rav Acha Breidah Rav Chiya Breidah Rav Abba. So Rav Yonah had said this, but Rav Acha, the son of Rav Chiya, who was the son of Rav Abba, said, no, Chochi Amar Rav Chiya Amar Rav Yechanan. On the contrary, Rav Chiya said in the name of Rav Yechanan, that's not what the Pasuk means. You don't have to do an Al Tikri. You can leave the word Saveya as it is, and it means, Kol HaMasviya Atzmei Medivrei Torah V'lon, when a person fills himself up and makes himself satisfied with words of Torah, and he goes to sleep, then he won't be given bad news min hashamayim. Meaning that Marsha says, now a person could disfigure, we can get away with just Krishna. But instead a person says, just Krishna Shalomita is not enough. He needs to actually learn Torah and fill himself up with Yiras Shemayim. So then Hashem won't give him the Suras Rois, Shenema, the Saveya Yolin, Bali Pokid Ra. So now we can understand the Pasuk in the closer to the simple sense that he'll go to sleep satisfied, meaning not satisfied as in he filled up his stomach, but he filled up his neshama with Torah. So therefore, Bali Pokid Ra, he won't be visited by bad dreams. So the first explanation was he said he doesn't have any dreams b'chlal during the 7 days. Now we're saying fakir that he won't have bad dreams. Agav, I mean, you know, it happens probably a lot of people don't necessarily remember their dreams when they wake up. The Pashtus, when we say that person goes 7 days without dreams, we don't necessarily mean that. We mean that he literally has no dreams at all. Anyway. And Gemara goes on, Pisca, so quotation from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah had described the various Beina Krokim, the parts between the breaks between one section of Shema and the next, between Yotza, Ma'uras, and Avas Olam, between Abrocha, Ba'am Yisrael, Ba'aba, and Shema, between Uvisharecha, and Bahayim Shemaya, and so forth. And then it mentions one of them is between Amniya, Shema Lekechem, and Emes. Because Emes V'yatziv, after all, is the next Krok. But the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda, Ima Ben Ba'yermela, Emes V'yatziv, Lo Yafsik, that Rabbi Yehuda says you should not break between Ani Hashem Alekechem and Emes. So Amar Abba Bo, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Bein Alekechem La Emes V'yatziv Lo Yafsik. Yet the Halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda that you don't break at that point. And so it's not considered Bein HaPrakim. So instead, you say MS, and then if you need to break for, then if you need to break for Dovah Shabbat Dusha, then you follow the rules of what would be Bein HaPrakim. That would be what would be the Emtz HaPrakim. You have certain things that you're allowed to interrupt for, Bein HaPrakim, but not the Emtz HaPrakim. For the most part, as far as Dvarim Shabbat Dusha, if you look in the tables in the back of the newer Sidurim, they have a table of it. For the most part, there's not much of a difference between them, but in other areas there are. In particular, the Mishnah mentions Mipnei HaKavod, Mipnei HaYira, whatever. So you say Emes, and then you're considered Be'emtza HaPerek, because you're in the middle of a bracha after all. Emes is the first word of the bracha. And then you follow the rules for interrupting Be'emtza HaPerek. So the Gemara says, my time is the Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that? Because the pasuk says Hashem Elokim is truth. So we also want to express the same idea by saying Hashem Elokim Emes and putting them together. I once saw, by the way, a few vert, I don't remember the marker of it, that says the taka why in the pasuk at the end of Parashat Shlach. Why taka doesn't that say Emes right there? Why didn't the Ebeshter dictate to Moshe to write at the end of there Emes? And the answer is because the very next thing in the Torah after that is Machlokes is a Korach. Which is anything but MS. So we don't want to put the word MS anywhere near Korach's Machlokes. Marsha, by the way, refers to, we talked about yesterday, we had in the Gemara, which actually in the actual printed Gemara, the part that we talked about stopping after, about what do you repeat MS again, was right after this one. Again, I have no idea why Rabbi Yaakov and Chabad separated them and put them as separate sections, but anyway, so the Gemara goes on to talk about the question that we discussed yesterday, do you repeat MS? Or not, and in the case of the Chazan who was davening in front of Rabbah and repeated MS, and Rabbah criticized him for that. So we said yesterday that Rabbeinu Yonah understands that B'chlal, the question about repeating MS, is only if you interrupt it in the middle. So let's say you said Hashem Elokeichem MS, and then you had to interrupt the Dvarim Shebekedusha, or to answer somebody, if Ne'ayiro, or whatever, now would you say MS again at the beginning of the bracha, or would you not? And the case of the Chazan, we're just that he said MS twice, and Rabbah criticized him for that. Marsha over here explains, based on what we're saying over here, Hashem Elokeichem MS, that the word MS, actually, the reason why you don't have to repeat it, why the halacha is you don't repeat it, is because it actually refers to both what came before it and what comes after it. It goes together with Ani Hashem Elokeichem MS, and also the same word MS, there's the beginning of MS V'yatzev V'nochon and so forth. Therefore, you don't have to repeat it, and that's why Rabbah criticized the service Chazan, who said it twice, because said MS Tafsilahai, like what all of a sudden the guy's a spasm of saying MS over again, because the guy should realize that the one word MS refers to both the sentence before it and the sentence after it, and there's no need to actually repeat it. As we talked about yesterday, though, when the Chazan is repeating it together with Hashem Elokeichem in order to have the three extra words, then that's different. That's the right thing to do. Okay. The Gemara goes on now. So the Gemara starts talking about now like this. You have, later on in the Masechta, it talks about the idea that a person should not make Tfilose Keva. A person, you have the fixed text of Shemana Esrei that the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah set up. You have actually, okay, strictly speaking, you have the 13 different Nuschos, as the Mizrach Maggid says, whatever the case, you have a certain fixed text of Shemana Esrei, but you shouldn't make it Keva. It shouldn't just be that it's a fixed thing and you're just gonna rattle it off and that's that. Also in Pirkei Avos, we have our past Tfilose Keva. So yeah, what you want to have, your tefillah should be rachmim v'tachnunim lefnei hamochel. So in keeping with that, then the Gemara is going to start by saying that a bunch of different tanoim and amiroim, each one had their own special tefillah, which they would say at the end of Shemana Esrei. So we say alakai nitzer. And later on, as we go through the Gemara over here, we're going to mention one of the amiroim, ma'abre de Ravina, used to say that. And in fact, that's what ma'abre de Rav Huna actually would say alakai nitzer, and that became the kriyos that we all say that. But you have many other Tanoim and Amoraim who had their own Nuschois that they would say at the end of that. So the Gemara starts off, Rabbi Eliezer, or Elazar, busted him, Sayim Tzloise, after he finished Shemana Esrei, Omar Hochi, he would say the following tefillah, Yehi Rotzen Lefanecha Hashem Alekeinu, Shetashkin Befureinu, that you should make, and may be your will Hashem, that you should make rest in our Pureinu. Now what is Pureinu? Rashi says it means Gerolainu. A poor who people poor are gerol. So therefore, it means in our gerol and our lot in life should have the following things. Marsha says also the word purenu can also be related to the word puria, which means a bed. So therefore, it's like we have an amapul. Hey, mitasi shleim alafanecha. So we're asking that our bed should be a place of avav achva shalom bereis, as we're going to go on to say. So that you should have in our purenu, in our lot, or in our bed, we should have abba v'achav v'shalom v'reyus. We should have love and brotherhood and peace and friendship. The Sarbuk Volena Basamidim, may you increase our boundary as far as Tamidim. That expression is taken from in Masechta Tzmura. We had it a few months back in the previous cycle of Enyakov. We had talked about Osniyov and Knaz, also known as Yavetz, where he davened to Hashem, the Bisak Vuli, that you should increase my Vul, and that's what he meant. He was a Rebbe who had no Tamidim, and he's asking Hashem to give him to give him worthy Tamidim. Which in the end Hashem did, it says with Ibn Yisrael, the descendants of Ibn Kani, the descendants of Yisrael, who had a rich, fertile area of Eretz Yisrael, they went and they left that area and traveled to the south of Eretz Yisrael and became his Tamidim. So that's the Sabbath relating to Tamidim as part of Rabbi Lozer's tefillah. May you make that our end should be successful and should have a hope and should have a future and a hope. The sasim chalkenu b'gan Eden, may you place our portion in Gan Eden. The saknenu b'chaber toiv v'yetzer toiv ba'olamecha, fix us up in the world in your world with a good friend and with a good yetzer, with a good inclination. The nashkin v'yimtzol yichul l'vavenu l'yiras shmecha, may we wake up in the morning and find the yichul of our heart to fear your name. Rashi explained the word yichul means the hope, the expectation. So every morning, where he's asking that when we go to sleep at night, and during the night, a person has hirhurim, a person has thoughts that may sometimes be inappropriate, so then it should be that every morning we find that our heart is hoping and expecting for you, Hashem, and not for anyone else. Maharsha says another meaning of yichul levavenu can also be related to the word chil, which means trembling. So in other words, that we should wake up in the morning with a feeling of trembling, with a feeling of yira towards Hashem. To fear your name. The sabr, the fanecha, kodas nafshen of the tova, and may there come before you the satisfaction of our minds, of our wants, the tova for good. So that was his tefillah that he would say every day at the end of Shemini Esrei. Ion Yaakov explains that the Rebbe Lozer over here specifically is Rebbe Lozer ben Shamur. He had a huge number of Talmidim. So first of all, he had a huge number of Talmidim. Therefore, it was very appropriate that he asked that he should, that his bull should be increased for Talmidim. You have a Gemara, for example, in Yevamos that says, or actually he refers to a Gemara in Yuma that says that there were times when he had so many Talmidim that the six of them would have to sit together in one Amma because they were so crowded in his Beis Medrash. So he was asking, Shatav the Gulenim the Talmidim, and Hashem brought that truth. Rebbe Lozer ben Shamur, the Ion Yaakov goes on to say, was also one of the Asor Arugim Malchus, and therefore, so he had like a premonition of it, and that's why he asked that we should have Sefenu Achus for Sikra. So certain phrases in his tefillah particularly refer to his own circumstances. And Ion Yaakov goes on to point out with each of the other Chachamim that we're going to mention why their particular situation required the particular tefillah that they composed. Eitz Yosef has a long explanation about it, that a person lives a certain amount of time in the world. They have, during that time, they have a hope of fixing themselves up and being what they should be. Eventually then a person lives out their life. If at least they have children and bro kara davua and bro mezaka abba, father, son can bring schus to his father. So then he has a tikva v'achus, then he has a future and a hope through that. And also, if he has Talmidim, same idea. So that's what he's saying, that we ourselves should have in our own beds and where we live, we should have Abba V'Achva includes the Furenu, again, means in our bed, that our children should have Abba V'Achva Shalom B'Reyus among them as well. And that we should also have the Sabbath Velenu B'Samidim, that we should have many Talmidim, because that way also we have an afterlife. It's not just a person dies and then that's it, he's gone. And Eitz Yosef learns that Rabbi Lozer over here is not Rabbi Lozer ben Shamur the Tana, the way that Ion Yaakov said, but rather Rabbi Lozer ben Pedos the Amur. Now we find in a Gemara in Tainus that he was extremely poor. And one time, in fact, the Gemara tells over there where he davened to be given a little bit of skar in this world, and he was given a piece of his future Gan Eden, and then he realized that's no good. I don't want to lose anything from my Gan Eden, and he gave it back. So therefore, that's why he's saying the same Chalkenu the Gan Eden. And the same thing, each of the other things that he's asking has a, again, something specific to do with, a specific thing that he's asking for. The Nashkin Yimsa Yuchol Lavenu means that we should fear only Hashem, we shouldn't fear anything else. Like you have the famous thing Baal Shem Tov's father told him, the only one to ever fear is Hashem. So that's that, so all of that constitutes Rav Elazar's fear. Rav Yochanan bossed him saying slowly on the then when Rav Yochanan would finish his tefillah, he would say the following: Yiratim lefanach Hashem alekenu shetotzitz bevashtenu. May you peek to totzitz, literally like even just to give a little peek bevashtenu at our embarrassment, the sabit berasenu, and gaze at and gaze carefully at our bad, at the bad situation that we're in. This is slavish berachamecha. May you clothe yourself with your rachmim. This is skase beuzecha and cover yourself with your power. This is atef bachasidusecha and wrap yourself up in your chasidus, which refers to those three things. Rachamecha, uzecha, and chasidusecha refer to respectively chesed, bura, and tiferes. This is azeb bachanin usecha and gird yourself like a person kaviyachol puts on a belt with your midah of chayin to be gracious to us, even though we don't deserve it at all, and may there come before you the midah of your goodness and your humility, your condescension, the fact that you, Hashem, Kavyachol, condescend to look down and consider us human beings important, so you should exercise that midah towards us. Maharsha explains like this. We learned previously in our Masechta that when a person does an Avera and is embarrassed of it, then Merchel and Loya Kol HaVinosa. So that's the Tatzit V'Vashtenu. Look at our humiliation. We know we did Averas, but we're humiliated and embarrassed by them. So please keep that in mind and forgive us for those Averas. The Tabit V'Rasenu, it also means, he says, V'Vashtenu can also mean the humiliation that we suffer at the hands of the Goyim. The Tabit V'Rasenu is the same thing. Take a look at the evil that the Goyim perpetrate on us. And then we say that use your Midah of Rachmim on us and use your Oiz, use your power and your Gvura against the Goyim. And in other words, you exercise your various Midas, when the word Midah itself means clothing, like Midah Ivad. So therefore it means that, so to speak, we're asking Hashem to enclose himself in these various Midas and act in the appropriate ways towards us. Ion Yaakov points out that he says that Rabbi Yochanan over here is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai the Tana. In his times, the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. That is why, particularly, he's asking that Hashem should look at our humiliation and at the evil situation, the bad situation we're in after the Churban. This tefillah, by the way, so we don't say it as part of regular davening, but we do have one of the slichas on one of the days before Rosh Hashanah, the fifth day, we have one of the piyutim ends with a paraphrase of this line of Rabbi Yochanan to say that totzitz bevashtenu ve'slabish berachamecha ve'sabit v'nachem midas trucha ve'inu v'sarasecha. We say more or less part of Rabbi Yochanan's tefillah over here at the end of that piyut. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow with more of them. That's the end. By which? Oh, and the Spanish is doing them, yeah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach HaGa'ula, Zayin Cheshvan. So the Rebbe was talking about one time about the greatness of Kiddush Levana. And we know Chazal tell us that when a person says when a person does Kiddush Levana in its proper time, Ki'ilu Makabel Pnei Shechina. That's as if he's greeting the Shechina. Now, why is that? So, because the Jewish people in Golos are not zoicha to see the face of the Shekhinah, we're very distant from being able to receive the Shekhinah. But when the moon is renewed every month, and that's a simon for us Jewish people, like we say in Kiddush Levana, Shehem Asidim the Skadish Kamosel, the Far Yotzrim, that we will be renewed like the moon, and we will glorify the One who created us, and in that way we're receiving the face of the Shekhinah. So therefore, when we bench the Chodesh in its time, that's a simon that we will be renewed. So therefore, that is the equivalent of Mekablin Pnei Shechina. It's out there now. Okay, good. So tonight, I guess we can be Mekablin Pnei Shechina. Good. Okay, halachas. Finishing up with halachas about Macholas Asuris. The bottom line is, as far as insects and worms and whatnot, there are many isurim in the Torah regarding shrotzim. A person can be over on many lavim by eating a bug or a worm or whatever, and then return with the nefesh. So therefore, a person has to be extra careful with these things that we were talking about the last day or two about vegetables that are known to have bugs, about fish that are known to have bugs, according to those who hold that that copepods in the water are a problem, then with those, etc., all that sort of thing. And the last halacha in the siman, if you ask a rav, a shayla, and he answers it, you're not allowed to ask the same shayla to another rav unless you inform him of what the first rav said, that he answered it. Why that is, there's actually a couple of interesting explanations why. One of them is out of cover for the first rav, but another idea that some of the mafreshim say is that once the first rav answered it, it actually becomes us. Even if it may be that objectively api halacha was mutter, the very fact that a rav moira harav passing on it makes it usur, and therefore how can you go and ask another rav to be matter it? Unless you find that the first rav made some kind of blatant mistake. So, it can also be because you're fishing for an answer. That's really the first reason, because of covered for the first rub, that it's not the covered dick for you. He gave you a pack, and you're going to be going and second guessing them, right?